I certainly appreciate the good songs today. Glad to be back in the house of the Lord. Appreciate your prayers. Ask you to pray for the message today, that the word of the Lord may have free course. My wife, she loves it when I tell things from the pulpit about her, but my wife this morning, I am not color coordinated at all, and so I was getting ready for church today, and I said, I had this, put this shirt on, and I said, I need you to help me pick a tie, and so I brought this tie to her, and she said, yeah, that looks fine, and so I put it on and wore it, and when we got to church, we pulled in the lot, and we got out of the car, and she said, by the way, your tie don't match your shirt, and so you can see what I'm dealing with. So, but I just thought I'd share that with you because I knew Shirley would appreciate that. But I'm glad that we have this privilege today to worship the Lord together. And for all the saints of God, we have a great worship meeting coming. I was listening this morning at the back when people were coming in, and someone back there was talking about someone else that is struggling and has a lot of serious problems. And when I listened to that conversation, I thought, yes, but what a land heaven will be. We won't have to deal with those things anymore. And so my concern today is for those of you who are not ready, those of you who are lost, you need to be saved. You need that more than you need anything else. You need it more than you need life itself. You need eternal life. And so I want to ask you today to please give your attention for a little while to the Word of God. I want to ask those of you here today that are saved to pray for the lost. Those of you that are here today that are lost, you pray to God for yourself. You pray to God in behalf of your condition. I want to share a few verses of Scripture. If you want to read with me, turn to the first chapter of the book of Jonah. I want to read just a few verses today from that first chapter of Jonah, beginning with verse 12. Jonah was a man that ran from God. God told him to do something, and he disobeyed God and tried to get away. He took off in another direction, and he ended up on a ship, and God sent a great wind out, and it began to toss the ship about to the point that all of the ones on the ship, the merchantmen on the ship, they did the best they could, but they couldn't bring it to land. And where I am going to begin to read in verse 12, this was Jonah himself telling them how to remedy the situation. And so Jonah chapter 1, beginning with verse 12, "And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and they ceased from her, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And I will stop my reading there for the time being. I want to remind you of this. In the time that I have been here and have been blessed enough to serve as your pastor, there's something that I have told you here at Fairview Memorial several times. I have told you that when we find ourselves in different situations in life where we don't know what to do, we are looking for answers to try to know how to handle the situation. I've told you before that if you will take the time to look to the Word of God and to search it out, you'll find the answer. And I believe that. I believe that the Word of God has the answers that we need to know how to deal with situations in our life. And today, I'm going to give you an example of that. And I think you'll find this interesting. I know I certainly do find it interesting. But should you ever find yourself inside of a whale? Now, I know that, you know, as you sit here today, you don't really imagine that concept. But you think about the things that the Scriptures tell us and teach us. Should you ever find yourself inside of a whale, the Bible even teaches us how to get out of a whale. And that's what I want to use for my title today. The title of the message will be How to Get Out of a Whale. And I want to say this in the beginning, that there is only one way out. There's only one way out. Now, I want to say about this and the verses that I have read to you today from the first chapter of Jonah. I want to say about these the same thing that I said to you a couple of weeks ago about the Exodus and the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Some say that that was an analogy, that it was perhaps a parable, that it was just a story that was told to try to make a point. And I told you that I don't believe that. I believe there was a real Exodus. There was a real nation of Israel. There was a real Moses and Aaron. And so today, concerning the book of Jonah, I am persuaded and believe wholeheartedly that the book of Jonah and the story of Jonah and the whale is not a parable. It's not a fable. There was a Hebrew preacher that lived long ago by the name of Jonah. And God had told this man to go to Nineveh and to warn them, to preach to them that they were going to be overthrown. And he disobeyed the Lord, and God punished him for that. And these are these verses that I read to you today are the history of a real event. They took place. Jonah found himself in a horrible situation. And I want to go a little bit further in the second chapter of Jonah. And I want to read to you a few verses about Jonah describing his surroundings and describing at least somewhat of what it was like to be inside the belly of a whale. Now, in the book of Jonah, it's called a great fish. Jesus in the New Testament referred to this fish as a whale. If we look in the second verse of Jonah 2, or I'm sorry, the third verse of Jonah chapter 2, he's talking about there again the circumstances and his surroundings inside of the whale. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas and in the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. I want you to listen to this and remember it. Remember this statement made by Jonah in his prayer. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, and I'm certain that these verses, as we read them, I'm certain that they don't even begin to paint the picture for us of what it was really like for a man to realize that he had been swallowed up by a whale, to realize that he was inside of a big fish, that he was being taken down, as he said, to the bottom of the mountains, that the weeds were wrapped around his head. You know, you and I mean, I don't think that we can really imagine what that would feel like. We can read about Jonah and we can think about it, but Jonah was experiencing an awful situation in his life. I thought about something this morning when I studied this. Some people, in trying to deny the validity of this, they have said that, and Brother Wheat spoke this morning in Sunday school about the fact that God can defy the law of physics. God made it. God can do whatever he will with the law of physics, but some have, in trying to deny this, some have said that it couldn't be a whale because a whale, something about their throat can't swallow a man. But the Bible says that God prepared this fish. And a while back, last year, I went with some of the brethren here from church, and we went out to the creek, and they had caught some catfish. And I remember Brother Mike Wheat was talking about that, and he said, if the Lord prepared it, a bluegill could swallow a man. Amen. I mean, if God prepared it for the task, it could do it. And so the Lord prepared this fish, and it swallowed up Jonah, and he was literally inside of this fish. Jonah referred to it as the belly of hell. But he found himself inside of this fish, being, and the fish obviously swimming around and taking him down deep and all these things. What a horrible, horrible situation to find yourself in. But I'm going to tell you today, and I want to speak to you that are lost, and I beg your attention today, because there is a situation that a human being can find themselves in that is much worse than being inside of a whale. And I want to speak to you about that today. But I want you to think about that, about here was Jonah. He had been swallowed up. He was experiencing all of these horrible conditions. And what could he do about it? What could he possibly do to change the situation? I mean, he couldn't tickle the whale and have it open its mouth. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't go and pry it open. I mean, it was physically impossible for him to get out. There was no way out for him. There was nothing that he could do to get himself out of the inside of the whale. The only way that he could get out was to turn it over to the Lord. The only possible escape that he had I remember one time somebody made this statement. They said something to the effect that, can you imagine praying inside of a fish? And I thought, when I heard that, I thought, well, if you found yourself inside of a fish, what else would you do? I mean, what else could you do? That was the only thing that Jonah could do. There wasn't anything else he could do to escape. He had to turn to the Lord. And we read in the first verse of Jonah chapter 2, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He prayed. He turned to God. He made the statement there, and I read it before you. He made the statement how that he felt that he had just been even put in such a place that he was just cast out of the sight of God. Now, that wasn't really true. God could see Jonah. God knew where Jonah was. But that's how Jonah felt, that he had just been completely cast out of the sight of God. But he said, yet I will look to your holy temple and I'll call upon you. And so inside of this nasty, dirty fish and all these things, the water and the weeds and everything that was happening to him, Jonah prayed to the Lord that God would give him deliverance. And when he was praying, and I believe that, his prayer here is very interesting, but when Jonah was praying, he reached this conclusion in his prayer that salvation is of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe that meant. I'm going to tell you what I believe Jonah meant when he said that. I believe this man was here inside of this fish, and he was praying and he was crying out to God, and he reached the point, he came to the conclusion that if I'm ever going to get out of here, if I'm ever going to get out of the inside of the fish, it's going to be because God delivers me out. That's what he meant when he said salvation is of the Lord. Salvation, deliverance, they're synonymous terms. And Jonah realized that if deliverance was ever going to come, it was going to come from God. There was no other way out. It's amazing how, and especially in the Old Testament writings, it's amazing the examples that God gave us of his ability to deliver people out of any situation. Why do we faint so much? I mean, think about it, church. Why do we faint so much? Why do we lack faith so much when we have so many great examples before us that God left for us in his word that we can look at? And sometimes these situations that we have in life, we ought to be able to look at these things in the scriptures, and we ought to say, you know, if God could deliver this man out of the inside of a whale, surely he can deal with the problem that I'm having. If God, and he proved to us that God can deliver people out of the midst of a burning, raging fire, he did that, didn't he? He can bring people out of the midst of a burning, fiery furnace and bring them out, and when they come out, they not even smell like they've ever been in a fire. No smell of smoke, no singeing, no physical evidence that they were ever even in the fire. The Bible gives us the remedy. If you ever find yourself spending the night in a den of lions, the Bible tells us how to get out, doesn't it? Turn to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And Daniel, we read about Daniel having been thrown into the lion's den and spent the night among them. And when Darius came to him the next morning and asked if he was okay, asked if God, his God, had been able to deliver him, Daniel was able to announce to him with a resounding yes. The Lord, my God, sent his angel and he has shut the mouth of the lions, and I've not been hurt at all. He spent the night there among those beasts. And, you know, I saw something a while back where a woman, for some reason, at a zoo, had climbed over a fence and got into the cage with a lion. I think she was trying to befriend that lion, and it attacked her. I mean, they're mean. And if a human goes into their domain, they're going to attack you. But Jonah was spared, or Daniel was spared from that, and they didn't harm him at all. So we have been given examples. Brother Wheat mentioned this morning about, I believe, about God parting the seas and allowing Israel to cross on the dry ground. And so God gave us example after example after example in the scriptures that he is able to deliver us from whatever the situation may be. God can deliver. I love the way that when God brought those Hebrew children out of that fiery furnace, I love the way that it convinced Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, if you read about Nebuchadnezzar, he was so furious that they wouldn't bow and worship his image, that he had them heat that furnace seven times its normal heat and throw those men into that furnace. But when he looked in there and when he asked the question, did we not cast three in? And they said, yes. And he said, well, I see four, and they're loose, and they're walking in the midst of the fire, and the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. And when they came out of there with no apparent evidence that they had ever even been in the fire, you know what it caused Nebuchadnezzar to testify to? He said, there is no God that can deliver after this sort. Made a believer out of him, at least to that extent, that there's no other God that can deliver like God can. Oh, listen, sometimes we want to trust in everything except the one that we should trust in. You know what? Jonah, inside of that whale, Jonah could have labored. He could have looked for this and looked for that, and he could have worked himself to death trying to find a way out of the inside of that whale, and he never would have made it. He would have died in there. He never would have got out unless God delivered him out. Now, I want to speak about some things from the Psalms. The way that David once described a spiritual dilemma that he found himself in. We've been talking here about something that Jonah was facing from a natural point of view, a physical point of view. He was really inside of a fish, and he needed to find a way to get out. But there is a spiritual condition that people find themselves in I found myself in that condition one time when I was a very young person. There is a spiritual condition that we find ourselves in that's far worse than being inside of a whale. It's far worse than physically being inside of a burning furnace. It's worse than having to spend the night in a den of lions. And that is when we come to realize that we're lost, that we're guilty before God, that we are under judgment from God, that we are under God's wrath. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There have been some times in my life, I've never found myself quite in the situation that some of these men have that I read about in the Bible, but I found myself in life at times in some pretty bad physical predicaments. But I have never experienced anything in this life that was as horrid as when I realized that I was lost and condemned before a holy and a just God. There was a fear that produced in me that nothing has ever matched. When I realized that my soul was in peril, that my soul was in danger of eternal damnation, that my soul was in danger of eternal separation from God, that I was on my way to a devil's hell. Folks, listen, nothing ever brought fear upon me like that did. So we read about Jonah inside of the whale, and again how that he spoke about going down to the bottom of the mountains and the water and the weeds and everything compassing him. David in the 116th Psalm describes a little bit about that spiritual dilemma that he found himself in. But it wasn't water and it wasn't weeds that were compassing him in the way that it was with Jonah. David said in the 116th Psalm, he said, "The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold up on me. I found trouble and sorrow." And certainly Jonah inside of that whale, no doubt he was troubled. No doubt that was a sorrowful condition that he was in. But the condition that David is describing there in the 116th Psalm is even worse, because he was describing what was surrounding his eternal, immortal soul. The sorrows of death. David said, "The sorrows of death are just passing around me. The pains of hell have got a hold upon me. And I'm in trouble. And I've got sorrow." And I want to ask you something today. You think with me for a moment, if you will. Listen, lost friend, we're talking about something very serious here today. And I want to ask you this question. Are you here today in trouble? Are you in trouble this morning? Are the sorrows of death compassing you? Are you in trouble about the condition of your eternal soul? Listen, if you know today that you are here this morning and you know that you are lost and without God, if you're not in trouble, you need to be in trouble. And if you need that, you pray to God and He can give you that. That ought to trouble you. If you know today that you're lost and separated from God and your soul is not troubled over that, God help you. That ought to trouble you more than anything else has ever troubled you. The sorrows of death, the pains of hell. David said, "I found trouble and sorrow." What did he do? He found himself spiritually in the same condition that Jonah found himself in physically. There was nothing that he could do. There was no deliverance. Those of you that are here today that have been saved, we remember what it was like, don't we, to be lost. I remember, folks, when I was lost, I remember how bad it felt to be lost. I remember coming to that realization about my spiritual condition that Jonah came to about his physical condition. that if I was ever going to be delivered from that, it was going to be the God of heaven that would have to deliver me, because there was no way that I was going to find my way out. No way. Folks, let me tell you something. Jonah could not get out of that whale by himself. And lost friend, you cannot save your soul. You cannot get out of that spiritual condition that David described. There's another place in the 40th Psalm that David described it as being in a pit. In a pit. And he said that God brought him up out of that pit, brought me up out of a horrible pit, placed my feet up on a rock, established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And folks, listen, like I said, those of us who are here today that have been saved, when we think back to when we were lost, we know salvation is of the Lord. If we were going to be brought up out of that pit, it was going to be God that would deliver us. Listen, if you're here today and if you've got it in your mind that there's anything you can do about it that's going to hinder you, because you can't, you've got to turn it over to the Lord. Jonah had to turn it over to God. He had to look to God for deliverance. And so he prayed that God would deliver him. And lost friend, if you are going to be saved and given eternal life, you're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to have to turn it over to God. You're going to have to trust God with all of your heart if you're going to be delivered from the bondage of sin. If you're going to be brought up out of the horrible pit. I mean, we read about Paul and Silas in the New Testament. They're in the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, when they were in prison there in Philippi. And the Bible says that they had took those men and they had cast them into the inner prison. They were not in a place that was close to the outside walls of the jail or anything. They couldn't look out the bars. They were thrown into the deep, dark, dirty, dungy inner prison, and the Bible says that they made their feet fast in the stocks. There was no way that Paul and Silas could get out of that. No way. They had them. They were incarcerated. They had them bound, and they could not escape. And so you know what they did? About midnight, they prayed, and they sang praises to God. And God came down and brought a hacksaw and sawed them out. No, Bible says the stocks just fell off. Just fell off. You know, when I was lost, it was hard for me to get to the place where I was able to trust God. But you know what? When I did, God didn't have any trouble saving me. When he saw what he wanted to see in Jonah's heart, when Jonah began to pray to God and realized that it was, you know, only faith in God was going to deliver him, when he realized that salvation was of the Lord, when God saw the condition of Jonah's heart that pleased him, you know what he did? He just told the fish to let him go. Amen. Let him go. God didn't have to go down there and wrestle that fish and fight that fish for Jonah. He just let him go. When the Lord Jesus was here on earth, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb, and he went there and he stood before the tomb of Lazarus after that man had already been dead for 4 days, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came out, still wrapped in the grave cloths and everything. What did Jesus do? He just said, "Loose him and let him go." That's what he'll do for you. That's what he'll do for your soul. If you'll come to him and repent of your sins and trust Him with all your heart, He'll speak to that sin that has you in bondage and say, let Him go. Let Him go. God was able to deliver Jonah from the whale. God was able to deliver Daniel from the lions. God was able to deliver Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego from the fire. God was able to deliver Israel from the Pharaoh and the Egyptians. He came down there, and we read in the third chapter of Exodus, and I'm going to close here in just a moment, and let's get a song ready. But in the third chapter of Exodus, we read that, you know, when God spoke to Moses, He said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Lost friend, I want you to know something today. God knows the condition that you're in. God knows about it today. You're not going to surprise God with it. God already knows that you're lost and in sin. He has seen that. And He came, He told Moses, He said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people in Egypt. I know what the taskmasters are doing to them. I know the hardships that they're putting them through. I know the afflictions that they're going through. And He told Moses, I am come down to deliver them. But listen, before that God said that, and before that happened, before God came down to deliver them, He said, I have heard their cries. They were crying out to Him. You know what? Before God delivered Jonah out of the whale, you know what Jonah did? He prayed that God would grant him deliverance. Before God brought David out of that horrible condition that he was in, when he said, the sorrows of death compassed me, the pains of hell got hold upon me, I found trouble and sorrow. Before David was brought out of that condition, you know what he did? You read the subsequent verse, and he says, then called I upon the name of the Lord and said, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. How about it, lost soul? How about it? Wouldn't you just love to be delivered today from what you've been feeling, from the pain and the sorrow that's in there, the pain that's coming from that conviction of sin, the pain that's coming from realizing that you're not saved, that you're lost and without God? Wouldn't you just love to be set free today and delivered from that? What do you think it was like for Jonah when that fish spit him out and he was out there again on solid ground? He was out there again. He was no longer inside of that old nasty fish. He was out there on the dry ground and he was seeing the sunshine and the things that were around him. Don't you think that felt good? Boy, I'll tell you what, when God delivered my soul, nothing. I mean, I've never experienced anything that was that good. I can't even really describe it all to you. But I'll tell you, I will promise you this. I will promise this to you today, that if you will seek the Lord and trust Him and be saved, it'll be the happiest thing that ever happened to you. I promise you that. You'll be just like all the rest of us. That's the best thing that ever happened to me. I promise you that. But you're not going to get out of it yourself. You're going to have to come to the Lord if you're ever going to be saved. Let's stand and sing.
Three twenty-one.
Pray for the lost.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from